You're listening to the Prep You Podcast, and I'm your host, Patricia May Olson. I'll be interviewing the brands, businesses, and influencers who are keeping the modern preppy lifestyle alive. Each Tuesday, I'll bring you a new episode, but if you're craving more preppy, then shop the merch and listen to past episodes at theprepupodcast.com, and be sure to follow at @theprepupodcast and me, Patricia_May_Olson, on Instagram. Okay, so I am talking first with my friend Amanda, who actually is the one who sort of taught me how to needlepoint and got me started on my first canvas, which I have to admit I haven't gotten far without you yet. So I want to start at the beginning though. Like, tell me a little bit about needlepoint and like the history behind it. I feel like you're so knowledgeable in this, so I'd love for you to give myself and listeners sort of a background on needlepointing.
Yeah. So hi, this is Amanda from the Needlepointers. And don't worry, we'll get you back on track with that canvas. I think the history of the needlepoint, I was looking it up before our conversation. And I knew that needlepoint has been around for like centuries. And part of what I love about it is, you know, I'm an Anglophile and I love British history and, you know, Mary, Queen of Scots and Queen Elizabeth, they were all famous needlepointers. So I knew it had that longevity. Mm-hmm. But actually, when I was looking it up, they actually discovered needlepoint in like tombs of like ancient Egyptians. So, So it's been around for quite a while. I would say like it really picked up in that, you know, 17th century Queen Elizabeth, Mary, Queen of Scots. 15th, 16th century. Bargello is a type of needlepoint that started in the 17th century. And that was used a lot in upholstery and, you know, historical pieces. You know, you can go to any museum in the world and see, you know, needlework pieces. So it's got quite a longevity. You know, it's basically a form of an embroidery. It's done on a canvas as opposed to on a fabric. So in America, there's primarily two different types of canvases, which are different sizes. And that gets into the details of what fibers you're using and needles you're using. But you're basically making embroidery stitches on a canvas following a pattern that, you know, someone has painted. So it's been around forever. It's this art form, basically.
Definitely. It's so funny because I feel like some of us millennials like think of it as this new thing or like antiques, but not as far back as it actually goes. Like, I feel like I go to the antique store and see all these needlepoint pillows, and that's kind of what, you know, piqued my interest. And then after COVID, it kind of got really popular for everyone, obviously. But it has such a long history, and it's just this classic craft or skill.
Yeah, I mean, Princess Grace, she's a famous needlepointer. There's actually a needlepoint award that was named after her. I know Barbara Bush was a huge needlepointer, and Jenna Bush Hager has talked a lot about the family pieces that her grandmother's needlepointed for her. And then, you know, I was in England 2 years ago, and we went to all these churches in the Cotswolds, and you can see like family church kneelers that have been around for, you know, 100 years sometimes for these families that somebody needlepointed and they live in the church. I think Lita's going to talk a little bit more about the popularity of it now, but it's definitely this longstanding art form. And I think that's really special because it connects you to your past and the history.
Yeah. No, that is really cool. Okay, well, let's talk with Lauren now. I'd love to discuss sort of some things that you need to get started, where you can buy all of that sort of thing, because I feel like it's so overwhelming. And when I got my canvas, I interviewed Jessica on the podcast, and she sent me a really cute canvas that says prep, and it's pink and green. And she gave me all the threads or yarns, we'll discuss what they're called, and then a needle, obviously, to get started. But you need to kind of have everything to get started. And I feel like a lot of the shops provide everything all in one, or you have to know what to buy and what kind of fibers and all of that. So I'd love to talk with you sort of about how to get started, because I think a lot of people who aren't needle pointers, that's like the most intimidating part, honestly, at least for me it was.
Sure. So this is Lauren from the Needle Pointers. Thanks for having us. There's so many different ways you can get started. The basic elements that you'll need are canvas, threads, needle, and scissors. I would say the rest you can kind of figure out as you go. There's a ton of places to get started, and there's a ton of shops actually both online and brick and mortar local needlepoint shops that have started to curate beginner kits for people. So they're usually 13 mesh canvas. So there's actually a wide variety of canvas mesh sizes. And so that's how many canvas threads there are per inch. So the bigger number means there's more space, easier to see. So a lot of people like to start with 13 mesh. And then 18 mesh is the other popular mesh size.
And when you say mesh, do you mean those little squares? Like that's kind of how it's – okay.
The little squares, to be technical, people call them canvas threads. Mm-hmm. But yes, yeah, so you're counting the canvas threads per inch. But yes, the little squares.
Okay. So then you said a lot of these shops sort of have beginners kits then, it sounds like. So you can go into some shops and they can sort of set you up, or they have everything all in one package. Is that right?
Yeah, and a lot of what will come in a beginner kit will be kind of a smaller project, usually on the bigger mesh size canvas, 13 mesh, with one or two colors, and what we call single ply threads. So I'm not going to get into threads versus fibers because it's complicated and nuanced, but I'm going to call them threads just for ease. But yeah, so they're single ply threads, meaning that you don't have to strand them, which means take apart the actual thread. You just kind of cut it and go, which is much easier to do.
That makes sense. And the scissors, I think, are so important. I didn't realize this when I got my first canvas, and Amanda generously gave me these adorable little miniature, very sharp scissors, which I guess are super important as well. And I've also seen like really beautiful, ornate ones that look like, you know, birds and things like that.
So one of the things, and I know we'll talk about this a little bit later, about what we love about needlepoint, is that you can really go down a rabbit hole with everything. You can go down a rabbit hole with threads. You can go down a rabbit hole with scissors. There's actually so many different types. There's curved scissors, serrated scissors. There's scissors specifically for metallic threads. There's the embroidery scissors. You could go wild. And it's, you know, it's a really cool thing. But yes, the really sharp scissors are what you want to get started, and you don't have to go super pricey. As long as they're made for cutting fibers, you're good to go.
Okay, that makes sense. And for someone who's getting started, do most people start with like a keychain, it seems like, or something smaller? Like I feel like the little one that I have that says prep is maybe like, I don't know, 3 inches by 3 inches or 4 inches by four. It's pretty small. Is that kind of how most of the beginner kits are? Are they more small in size? Is it more like less colors to go in between? What would you say generally?
It's probably both. The smaller size is good. It gives you a sense of accomplishment. Like, hey, like I'm able to do this, you know, and I think that's helps get people hooked into the hobby when you're able to actually finish something. But there are some beginner kits out there that are a little bit bigger, but then stick to kind of just two colors instead of maybe three or four on a smaller piece.
Okay. That makes total sense. Well, okay. Now I'd love to talk to Jessica then about, so once you have your canvas and you're done it, then the next step about finishing your pieces, and a little bit more about the shops and how to do that.
Yeah. Hi guys. This is Jessica from the Needle Pointers. So I work part-time at a shop, the Needlebug in Montgomery, Alabama. And I'll say the biggest benefit of visiting an LNS, is what we call it, a local needlepoint shop, is the expertise of the people working there. It's one thing to just order a beginner kit and Google, you know, how to needlepoint, and you figure it out that way. That's how I did it in COVID. I'm a COVID stitcher. But you have to go to the shop. You have to see the threads. You have to see different canvases. You have to talk to other stitchers, the owner of the shop. It's just valuable knowledge that they have and that they are more than willing to share.
I think that's so helpful what you just said, because I remember during COVID, I just bought this random needlepoint kit online, and I was like, oh, I can do this. I have all this extra time. I'll watch some videos. And I was so overwhelmed. I am much more of like an in-person visual learner than like a reading and watching, you know, on TV or on YouTube learner. Yeah. And I just could not do it. So I luckily had Amanda, my friend who lives locally, and she was able to show me in person. So I think having those shops is so helpful if you're not great at just being able to read and interpret something yourself, to see it in person. And so would you say most shops then are generally friendly, so you can go in and they're used to novices, or what would you suggest there?
Yeah. So I do think, and like you said earlier, in the past few years since COVID, it has blown up. So I will say, if you go to a shop, just be patient. They are more than happy to help. But a lot of times these needlepoint shops have maybe one or two, three people working, and they're busy. So they would love to help. They're more than willing to help. But definitely just try and go. I've only had great experiences at local needlepoint shops. And I will say, another benefit of going to a shop, you know, a lot of people now are saying there's no right way to do it. There's no needlepoint police. You do what you want, which to an extent that is true. But I do think it's important to learn how to do the beginner stitches correctly. That way you can grow and learn how to do different things, learn about different fibers and stitches. And so, yeah, you can always do what you want, but I'm a big believer in learning the right technique also.
Yeah. And so when you say, so you're saying there's different ways to stitch that aren't like the right ones for those canvases, or what do you mean? Because I'm someone, I love lessons, and I find a hobby and I like deep dive into it, and I'm like, no, like I can't just learn tennis on my own. I need an instructor, or I can't just read a wine book. Like I need to take all these courses and get certified. So I'm someone that believes in that. But so is there like, I don't want to say wrong way, but just a more interpretive way, I guess, to needlepoint?
Yeah. So there's two main stitches that you learn as a beginner. There's continental and basket weave. And when I first learned, I learned on my own, and I was not doing the continental stitch the correct way. Now, it looked mm-hmm. correct from the front. You know, it ended up being what we call a half cross stitch, okay. Which is fine. It's totally fine. That's not a wrong way to do it. But sometimes those different stitches can warp your canvas, which can affect your finishing, which we'll get into that later. But yes, you have to learn, I think, the correct way to do the basics.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, then I would love to talk with Lena next, sort of about this like trend in needlepoint. I feel like that's so popular right now. Like we talked about, COVID kind of kicked off things. I feel like people were at home. They were looking for new hobbies. They had more time on their hands, like I just mentioned. So sort of what kicked things off? I feel like it's so having a moment right now. There's so many more people needlepointing than ever before. And kind of what are you guys seeing in the world of needlepointing? I know there's even conferences. There's you guys get together and have sleepovers and go visit needlepoint shops. So talk to me all things needlepoint, like as it is today.
Yeah, well, I am so happy to be here. This is Lita with the Needle Pointers. And It's so funny that you guys actually mentioned COVID, because when I was thinking kind of, when I think to why needlepoint is so popular today, the pandemic always has to be a part of that formula, because I think it acted really as a catalyst for the resurgence among the younger audience. Mm-hmm. I personally remember just being so trapped at home and feeling anxious and powerless, and needlepoint just kind of gave me that opportunity to maybe get back a small piece of control. Mm-hmm. And also just to create beauty in the world, because I just feel like the world at that time was just so gray and, you know, devastating. Mm-hmm. But from that, you know, it has almost become a nightly ritual, and any stresses or anxieties I might have, I will, you know, just kind of weave them into my canvas, and I leave them in my canvas. So, you know, I'm like so refreshed the next day. And, you know, I think the second reason too is like so much of our lives is instant and it is mass produced. You know, we have fast fashion, we have same day shipping, but everything's kind of disposable. Mm-hmm. And so for me, needlepointing is almost an act of rebellion. It is such a slow and deliberate hobby that when I needlepoint, I'm basically saying, you know, I value things that are handmade. Mm-hmm. I value creating lasting beauty, and I value gifts that take time and thought and effort, and not, you know, just something that I can almost thoughtlessly pick up on my way over to see you. So, yeah. You know, that for me is kind of why I think it is really kind of resurging. But in terms of things that are popular, like you said, I think the Stitch Clubs are so fun. I actually just spent the weekend in Chicago going to Stitch Club Chicago and meeting the lovely ladies there. We recently moved, and as an adult, it is so difficult to make friends after college. You know, you're not in places where you're just kind of meeting all these people. And so what I love about Stitch Club is you're going there and you know that you have something in common with every person there. Mm-hmm. And I think from that, you can develop a lot of really great friendships. Like the four of us all met because of needlepoint, and now we text each other at 4 a.m. Like it obviously has just grown into so much more and kind of a bigger activity, I would say, would be these Stitch retreats where, you know, you get your favorite girls together and you go with the excuse of stitching. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell the secret. Most Stitch retreats, we don't actually get a lot of stitching done. But they are a really great excuse to, you know, take time out of our busy days, carve out that time for our friends, maybe go and explore a new city and just have adult sleepovers, because I don't know why we ever stopped doing those, but I feel like, you know, we've lost a little bit of that fun and that innocence along the way. And I think these Stitch retreats kind of let us reclaim that a little bit.
Definitely. So someone listening who might be new to needlepoint, where do you find these Stitch clubs? Like, do you just search on Facebook or following friends on Instagram? Like, how do you find them? Or these retreats? Like, how do you go from stitching at home in this, you know, sort of solo activity to joining the community and being part of it?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. So I would say your local needlepoint store is a great place to start. Mm-hmm. I know not everyone has one. So another great place would be, I would say, you know, on Facebook, on Instagram. We have a lot of virtual Stitch clubs. So mm-hmm. I know the Needlepointers, we host a virtual stitching session, you know, every other month or so. And there's a lot of people who host virtual weekly ones. So if you're maybe kind of isolated from other people, this is a great, you know, kind of free way to start meeting other stitchers and getting involved in the community. And then for Stitch retreats, I would just keep an eye out online. A lot of shops will post when they have Stitch retreats coming up. I know I, like, on my personal Instagram will say, hey, I'm thinking this date. If anyone's interested, let me know. always fun convincing my husband that I'm going to fly across the country to stay in a house with a bunch of strangers. I haven't died, so.
I love that. Oh my gosh. It sounds like such a great way to meet friends and community. So I kind of want to ask each of you now a few different questions, and I'm just going to go down the line that I have here. So we'll start with Amanda, but I want to know, A, like when and how you started needlepointing. And then my next question is, what has been your favorite canvas or project? And why do you love needlepointing?
Hi, Amanda again. So I started needlepointing, I think it was January or February 2020. It was right before the pandemic. My husband's aunt is a needlepointer, and I had said I wanted to do something after our wedding in 2019 because, you know, once you're planning a wedding and that stops, you have a lot more free time. So Aunt Carol got me started, and then it was like perfect timing because I had already gotten my first piece in to work on, and she had sent me stuff and videos, and then COVID hit. So it was like the perfect time for me. My favorite piece, so I would say two. I have my stocking that I finished in 2022. That's probably my favorite piece that I have right now that's an actual completed finished project. It was something that was special because I knew I was, you know, in the process of starting a family, and I wanted to make sure that I got mom's stocking done first before I had the family, because I knew I would want to have a stocking for everyone in my family. So I did mom's stocking first, and I love it. It makes me very proud to see it on the mantle. And then my favorite piece that I'm working on right now, that's kind of an inside joke with Jessica and I, and then a lot of the community that we interact with, is I have an advent calendar that Jessica's actually stitching as well. And it's one of those pieces that I know is going to be an heirloom piece that I pull out year after year for the holidays, that my daughter pulls out, and hopefully my grandkids. And I started stitching it. Jessica and I ordered it in Christmas of last year. We both started working on it. We both took a break, and we both picked it back up. And the reason I took a break was because I was having morning sickness from being my pregnancy, and I couldn't even look at it because I was so sick. So we've nicknamed it the vomit tree.
Okay, I was going to ask you, that was this project.
That is the project. So we actually have like an Instagram group. There's a few of us that are actually working on it, and it's one of those ones. It's a beast of a project. It's so intricate. There's so many stitches and colors and fibers, and you name it in the needlepoint world, this project has it in it. So we're all sort of motivating ourselves along. And one of the girls stitching it, Taylor, called it the vomit tree. And now it's like taken on the life of it of its own, which makes me laugh because, again, that's what needlepoint should be, is stuff that you remember and have memories attached to and specialty. So that's probably going to be my like future favorite project. And then, you know, why I love needlepoint, I think, you know, Lita talked about the intentionality of sitting down and stitching and everything in this world being so disposable, and that's beautiful. And I also think that there's something so beautiful in the fact that when I think of it, I think of like three artists that are involved in needlepoint, because you have the actual designer of a piece that's taking their heart and soul and painting and pouring out these designs to sell to a stitcher. So you've got that artist, and then you have the stitcher, myself, actually sitting down and working on the piece. And I think that that's, you know, the second artist. And then you hand it over to someone like a local needlepoint store to have it finished as a project. And so I think of the finisher as the third artist. And I just think there's something so beautiful and magical about having like three people involved and three hands and three hearts in each piece. So I just love that. I mean, it just, it makes me so happy.
That's so true. I was thinking about that earlier too when you guys were talking. Actually, I think there's four people though, because just from having, you know, one of my clients, Printfresh, we took their art and then had it made into a canvas, and then people were obviously stitching that, and then they'll finish that. So I'm like, there's even that person that that original design starts with a lot of times too. So it's even more people involved, which I think is so special and so lovely.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that take, like, you know, something that inspires them that they turn into a canvas. And then there's some people that come up with their own original artwork as well. So yeah, it can be more than three, but there's just something really special about that in this disposable world that somebody has taken the time and it's passed through this chain and then, you know, hopefully passes on generation after generation.
Yeah. No, that's so beautiful. So then, Lauren, I'd love to hear your answers to those. So sort of how you got started, your favorite piece, and why you love it.
It's Lauren. So I started needlepointing in 2019. I happened to be moving from New Orleans back to New Jersey with two small children. I was flying by myself with the kids, and I was like, obviously I'm not going to be able to do anything, you know, that requires a lot of focus and paying attention. So I was like, I'm going to give needlepoint a try. I grew up cross stitching, and I figured these were already painted. They were stitch painted. So it was really easy to kind of follow. I knew the continental stitch and the half cross stitch at the time. So I was like, I'm going to give this a shot. And then I was hooked. I fell way down the rabbit hole. So in terms of projects that I love, I mean, there's probably too many to name, but the ones that come to mind right now are my Susan Roberts mini 3D gingerbread houses, that I can use as an ornament or as a stand-up based on the way that they were finished. And I also just sent a huge two-sided Santa piece to be finished. And so I'm really excited about that one too.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's part of why I love, like, there's so many things you can do with it. Mm-hmm. There are times where I just need to turn my brain off, and I love just the feel of basket weave on a canvas, just simple repetition over and over again, and the classic look that it gives when it's finished. And then I love to go all out. And I'm kind of like you, where I, you know, I really want to take classes and I want to learn. And mm-hmm. I love to learn how to blink things out or make the canvas look more realistic. And it's all about finding the right texture of thread or finding the right embellishment to put on the canvas. And so I love that it kind of allows me to use multiple parts of my brain.
That's so cool. And I have to say, like, I can't wait for the day that I can use, like, a shimmery sort of fiber. I feel like I've seen so many people with these beautiful metallic-y shimmer ones. I'm like, oh, that'll be so special.
Oh, you can totally do it. Amanda will tell you how much she hates a specific sparkly thread that I will not name here. But there are so many varieties of sparkly shimmery threads that you will find one that works for you. And it's so fun.
Awesome. Well, what about you, Jessica? What would you say sort of was what started everything for needlepoint for you, and then your favorite piece that you've done, and then why you love it in general?
Hi, this is Jessica, Vomit Tree Stitcher number two. So I started stitching in March of 2020, right as the pandemic started. I had a 2-year-old little boy who is now 6, and I woke up every day feeling like there was an elephant just sitting on my chest. I had always been crafty, I guess, just not, I had not done any kind of needlework. So I was on Instagram one day and saw it on somebody's feed and thought, oh, well, that looks cool, so I'll try it. So I found I can't even remember the needlepoint shop now, but I ordered a Jean Smith floral, like, little 4x4 canvas on 13 mesh, and they kitted it for me and sent me the fibers, and I was hooked after that. And I have that project framed, and it's sitting on some of my bookshelves, and it's just so cute, and it always reminds me of where I started. So yeah, that's kind of how I started stitching. And then I think my favorite project, it's so hard to say, But I stitched a Colors of Praise dinosaur skull, T-Rex skull, tooth fairy pillow for my son. And it's huge and intricate. And it was so fun to stitch because I was stitching it for him. And he just recently lost his first tooth and got to use it for the tooth fairy. So it was just a full circle moment. Very exciting. For him to
use. That's so cute. It's so funny because I feel like there's a needlepoint canvas for literally everyone and everything. Like you just said, a dinosaur, which I would not have thought. So I love from vomit trees to dinosaurs.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And there's Amanda from Pennyland designed the cutest little dinosaur canvases and I've stitched all of them. I think there's probably 8 or 10. I mean, I have stitched every dinosaur known to man. So there's something for everyone.
Definitely. And so do you love it then because you can create these special pieces, you know, for your kids, or what's the thing that makes you love it the most?
Yeah, definitely. So I have one son and we're hoping to keep it that way. So I don't know exactly what will end up with all of my needlepoint, but I'm hoping as he grows up and sees, you know, how special the hobby is to me, that even if he doesn't end up stitching, he'll realize, you know, how special everything is that I stitch for him and for our family, and that it will continue and live on in his house and grandchildren's houses and, you know, so on and so forth. So
definitely. No, that's so sweet. So Lita, I'd love to talk to you now about, you know, how you got started, your favorite piece and why you love it so much.
Yeah. So Lita here, I got started. A very similar story, height of the pandemic. I was sitting at home, you know, twiddling my thumbs and doom scrolling. And while doom scrolling on Instagram, my sorority little had posted that she grew up needlepointing, had recently gotten back into it, and if anyone was interested, she would send just like a little beginner kit. Oh. And so I immediately was like, you know what? I need to do something besides sit here and just stressed about things I can't control. So I messaged her and I was like, I would love a kit. She sent me one and I think she sent me just a bookmark. It was a rectangle and one skein of variegated thread, and I stitched that entire bookmark in a single day.
Oh my gosh.
And after that I was hooked. And so that's really how I got started. And in terms of favorite projects, I think mine would probably be the JCB wedding cake that I stitched. It has my husband's initials, my initials, and our wedding date. And I actually snuck in some stitches on my wedding day in my wedding dress.
Aww.
And so it's just always going to be, you know, very sentimental and something that will always just bring back such happy memories.
That is so special.
Yeah. And I think, you know, my favorite thing that has come from needlepoint is just, of course, you know, the anxiety and the stress relief, but more so the friends that I've met through needlepoint. You know, Jessica and Lauren were both at my wedding. I never would have met them if it had not been for needlepoint. Amanda, I guess you were busy that day, but you can come to, I guess, the birth of my child if I ever have one.
That's so sweet. So, you know, I learned so much on this episode with you guys about needlepointing. And also, I feel like I really need to get back into it, especially since you finished one, Lita, in a single day that you started. And I've been working on mine. I feel like, Amanda, do we go in like, I don't know, May or June when I started. So I really need to get back into it. But is there anything else you ladies want to share that we didn't talk about to wrap things up, or any last thoughts?
Yes, I did want to mention, I didn't get to talk about finishing. So just to circle back to that really quick.
Yeah.
When you finish a project, there are a ton of self-finishing options, but there are also any local needlepoint shop, you can take your finished canvas to them and they will send it off to the finishing gods to have made into ornaments, pillows, trays, stand-ups, whatever your heart desires. You can do all of that through your local needlepoint shop.
That's so helpful. Thank you, Jessica.
Yeah, and I would add that, you know, needlepoint may not be the most affordable hobby, But if you are new to it, you're just trying to figure out if it's something you even like, there are a lot of, free resources available. So lots of free virtual stitch clubs, lots of Facebook, Needlepoint Facebook groups that have, a variety of stitches, things like that. So definitely check those out because they are basically everywhere and a really great way to kind of dip your toes into needlepoint if you're maybe not sure you want to commit fully.
Definitely. And I would add my one client, Emily Owen Bowes, who's an influencer, she just launched a little needlepoint canvas. And I want to say it's like $50, which I think is very affordable. It's very beginner and basic, I think. But that's another affordable one if like you just want to dip your toes in, I think I would say.
This is Lauren again. I'm going to shout out my fellow needlepointers who are amazing and provide a lot of these free resources online. So Lita, if you follow her on Instagram, she's Nashville Needlepointer. She actually provides a lot of finishing tutorials online for, all of her reels are free. It's not behind like a paywall or anything, but it's all there for you to learn if you wanted to try to self-finish and save some money that way. I do a lot of stitch videos and how I plan out canvases. If you're a visual learner, I show you in reels how to stitch some of the basic decorative stitches. And, Amanda has and Jessica both have amazing senses of style and come up with the most creative finishing ideas that I've ever seen. And so they're great for inspiration on what to do with your finished canvas. So I figured I would give us all a little plug.
Definitely. And before, if there's anyone else that wants to say anything too, feel free. But then the last thing I'll have everyone do is say their Instagram handle. And then, of course, your guys' combined one too. But did anyone else have anything else they want to add before we do that?
Well, I was just going to say that if anyone wants to reach out to any of us, I think, we each bring our own unique perspective and we each have our own things that we're stronger at. I mean, Lita is the finishing queen. Lauren, I will go to her for a stitch or a color. And, Jessica's great with resources and knowledge of designers. So I think between the four of us, we have, we have a lot of knowledge. We're willing to share. We love the hobby. We love each other. And, we just love talking to anyone.
Definitely. No, I love that. And I obviously know Amanda very well, and I'm sure anyone that Amanda's friends with is super friendly and so welcoming. And that's how I feel like through this podcast episode, getting to know you guys, I feel like there's a warm energy and it's very welcoming, which I think some people think the needlepoint industry can be a little stuffy or, they're scared to enter it, but you guys make it so friendly and approachable. So I appreciate that. So I'd love for each of you to say your Instagram handle. That way people can follow along and if they do have any questions, can reach out to you.
Sure. This is Amanda. I'll go first. So my individual handle is Amanda_V, as in Victor, O, and then goals, G-O-A-L-S.
Perfect. And then, should we just stick with our normal order? So do you want to go next? Do we have Jessica go next?
Yeah, I'll go. This is Jessica. My Instagram handle is Stitching with Jessica.
Perfect. And then Lauren?
This is Lauren. My Instagram handle is psyched_about_glitter. And now I'm also on TikTok.
Oh, cool. And then Lita?
This is Lita, and my Instagram is Nashville Needlepointer, one word, and I am also on the Clock app.
Perfect. And then, Lita, do you want to share your collaborative Instagram handle as well for all of you guys?
Of course. So the four of us together, we run the Needlepointers, which is just our little side Instagram that we built so that way we could grow the community. Our main goal is to reduce barriers to entry into needlepoint and to kind of provide a community where people can build these really important friendships that we have all benefited.
Amazing. Well, Thank you, ladies, all so much. I personally learned a lot about needlepoint, and I am inspired to get back to my canvas. So thank you for joining me today in this episode.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for listening to the Preppy Podcast. I hope this put a little prep in your step for the day. Please subscribe, rate, and review on wherever you listen to your podcast. And follow along with @ThePreppy Podcast on social media.